That's what we're going to do. I made a mess of everything. We're going to start a new little series. It's not very long. It's only going to be 4 weeks, which is quite short for a Wednesday series. We're going to talk about living like Jesus. And we're talking about living like Jesus, praying like Jesus, these types of things. We're going to start with living like him. And we just wrapped up a series on pursuing holiness, right? And as we do that, we're striving to be more and more like Jesus. That's the goal, hopefully, for all of us. So for a few weeks, we're going to take a bit of a look at the life of Jesus, the man Jesus, while he was here on earth, and how we can learn from the example that he gave us. So 1 John 2:4-6. I think I'm all King James tonight, so if that's your thing, this is your night. Said, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not him." And we've gone through 1 John over and over, so you know these by now. "But he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." And verse 6, "He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." So if we are abiding in Jesus, if we're staying in Jesus like we're supposed to, then we are to walk like him. We are to do what he was supposed to follow his example. And sometimes, I don't know if you, whatever. Sometimes, whether we want to admit it or not, our lives and our lips don't always agree. We'll often say a thing and we'll do something else, whether it's on purpose or not. Sometimes we'll just say something and forget we said it. Whatever. Sometimes we have ideas in our head of what we're actually like, but then we don't measure up to those ideas. And maybe I'm just talking to myself, but the Bible, it's referred to as a mirror because it does a good job of showing us, like a mirror, where we are and are not lining up. And some of us, we avoid mirrors in general. They will look in the mirror and like, "Who's that? Oh my goodness, that's me." Sometimes you forget what you look like. "Who's that fat bald guy? Oh my word, it's me." Get yourself in a walking down the reflection in the glass window on the stores or something. Anyways, sometimes we forget what we look like because we avoid mirrors, and then we come face to face, "Oh, is that what I really look like?" And the Bible does that to us sometimes. We kind of just ignore things, and then once in a while we'll get in there, "Oh my word, I really am falling short here." So the Bible's a mirror, and it shows us what we need to do. A lot of folks will claim they're Christian, but they don't actively follow Jesus. They don't pray. They don't read the word. They don't study. There's no change in their lives. They're not making any change. Some of them say they're Christian. They don't even attend church regularly. So we must show what we say. If we confess that we belong to Jesus, then how we act should reflect that confession by living the same kind of life that he lived. So obviously we're not going to do it perfectly because we're all still human. But we should strive to be like Jesus and to obey his teaching, to follow his commandments. John said, and we just read it, that if you don't keep his commandments, you don't even know him. This is how you get to know him, by following his word. If you don't keep his commandments, you don't know him. If you don't keep his word, it said his love is not being perfected or developed in you. So you cannot be a follower of someone. This is going to blow your minds. But you cannot be a follower of someone and not follow what they're doing. You know, follow what they're saying, or not acting like they're acting. It doesn't make any sense. "Oh, I'm following Jesus." Well, what are you doing? Are you following his teaching? Are you letting his spirit lead and guide you? Are you spending time with him regularly? "Oh, no. You know, I go to church every now and again. I tell people I'm following him." Like, you cannot follow Jesus and stay in the same place. That's not following, because he's working, he's moving, he's going. So I think social media has kind of ruined the word follow Because we just follow people on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever the other ones are that people use. But you think back to your childhood. Do you ever play the game Follow the Leader? What do? You follow, you go where they go, you do what they do, you step where they step, you walk where they walk, you follow their example. That's the whole game. And if you're the leader, you do kind of interesting things to make sure everyone's following. But that's what you do. You follow and you do everything that they're doing. And that's how it's supposed to be with Jesus. We kind of watered down the word follow like we've watered down a lot of other words. But that's how we're supposed to be with Jesus. You can't pick and choose what commandments of his to obey. You can't decide where we're going to go, because that's not following him. And we can't decide what we're going to do, because he's the one that's supposed to be calling the shots. He's the one that's supposed to be the leader, the shepherd, or what have you. So the old saying, talk is cheap. We can talk all we want. We can say whatever. But if we don't back it up, that says more about us than anything else. You can say, I love you, but not act like it. It goes with anything. If we give a word, we should do it. You know, people will say, I'm praying for you, and then forget about it 2 seconds later and not. You know, people see it all the time. People will say one thing and do another. And so we need to live our words. We can't say that we know and love God and not follow him, because that's not love, according to 1 John. And can't say we love Jesus and hate his church. So one of the things he taught was in John 13 and 35, By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. We can't say, oh, I don't like, you know, I like Jesus, but I don't like the church. You know, we're not really his disciples then if we can't love each other. 1 John says that you can't even, how can you love your brother that you can see, but not love God who you can't see? So people will know we are followers of Jesus by our love, not by our words. Not because we go to this church or we part of this congregation or whatever, but by how we treat each other. So this love brings all kinds of people together. The New Testament, there were Jews and Gentiles and Samaritans, people from all different kinds of backgrounds, all different races and whatever. Now it's the same, you know, people from all different cultures and classes, if you do that thing, and different occupations and all different kinds of ages. We got Felix here. He's pushing 1.5. We got other ones that I don't want to say what we're pushing. We got all kinds of ages. We got all different people come from different family situations, different backgrounds and all that. And the love of Jesus is what brings us together, and we need to keep that. But while the world is trying to create drama between different groups and skin colors and political parties and gender and generations and whatever else they can think of, his love is what brings us together. So how do we love like Jesus? Well, we need his spirit working in us, the gift of the Holy Ghost, and we need to live like him. And we see in the Bible how he treated people, and we need to replicate that. And so to love like Jesus, we need to live like Jesus. And the Bible is clear that we should pattern our lives after Jesus. The kind of character seen in Jesus must also be seen in us, and that should be our goal. So why should we be concerned with being like Jesus? We're going to go through 5 reasons. So that's going to be our thing tonight. The intro's over. We're going to get to the 5 reasons why we should be concerned with being like Jesus. The first is because Christ-likeness, or being like him, is our calling. We're called to be like him, and that's what he wants from us. Jesus has given us his gracious invitation and command to come to him and to learn. Matthew 11, 28-30, we like the first verse. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's the good part, right? We like that. And it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's invited us to come to him and to learn. When you put a yoke on an animal, you control them. And they follow where they're told to go by you. They learn how to walk together with the farmer or another animal if it's a pair. They learn how to work together and walk together. And when we have the yoke of the world on us, it's heavy and it weighs us down, and it teaches us how to walk a certain way. It teaches us how to live a certain way and talk a certain way. It controls us where we go and what we do, and it runs our lives. But Jesus has extended this invitation to come to him, to take his yoke, to learn from him instead of the world and the way we've been doing things, to learn a new way and allow him to lead us instead of something else. Allow him to reteach us some things, how to walk like he walks, and how to act and talk, and where to go or not to go. We just covered a whole bunch of that stuff in the last 8 weeks, pursuing holiness. We're not called primarily to an institution or a particular religion or to a church, but we're called to the real person of Jesus Christ. That's who we're supposed to be attaching ourselves to. We can attach all these other labels, but what matters is Jesus. Initiation into Jesus, being born again, must be followed by our imitation of Jesus. When Jesus called the disciples, what did he say? Come, follow me. That's what being a disciple is, following him and his example. We are to follow him and be more like him. We're supposed to change. There's supposed to be a change. Well, that's just who I am. Well, too bad, but you got to change. You got to be more like him. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Don't be so stubborn that you won't allow Jesus to work on you and make you more like him. That's foolishness. He's making me new. We're supposed to be made in his image, but we're forever trying to remake Jesus into our image. We're trying to make him fit into our beliefs and our ideals and our ideas instead of conforming to his. That's not who I am. Well, okay, but when you're born again, you're supposed to be a new creature. So if that's how you were, good. That's not how you're supposed to be now. You're supposed to change and be more like him. Let him work. And we need to stop holding the Holy Ghost back from working on us, because that's just who I am. I don't want to change. I've always been this way. Well, if it doesn't line up with the word, let him work. Let him shape and mold us. That's what he's trying to do. Live like Jesus, imitate him, love like him, forgive like him, treat people like him. He doesn't save us just so we can be the same miserable wretch that we were before. He loves us too much to leave us like that. You know, if you come upon an animal that needs saving, and you save the animal, dog, cat, whatever, and it's a mess, what do? You clean it up. You take care of it. You help it heal. You retrain it. If it's, you know, these rescue dogs, you gotta retrain them. You do all these things. You care too much to leave it in the same condition as when you found it. And not that we're animals, but if we're willing to do that, and that's what we're going to do with some other being, how much more is he trying to... He loves us, yes, and he saves us. He loves us how we are, but he's trying to make us more like him, and he's trying to change, produce something new in our lives. When you find something that's worth saving, you don't leave it the same way. You clean it, you fix it, you refurbish it, whatever. And that's what Jesus is trying to do to us. But how much more does he love us? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Once we are saved, we become part of Jesus, part of Christ, and we become a new creature. Old things are passed away. That means the old way of thinking, the old way of doing, the old way of walking, the old way of talking, going to the old places, doing the old things. And Matthew, there's a new yoke that's put on me. There's a new way to live now. In the Old Testament, it was an eye for an eye, and revenge was the law. And you didn't break the law because you didn't want punishment or revenge. People hated their enemies. The Pharisees were actually teaching that you should hate your enemies. But Jesus came in right off the bat with some of the first teaching we get from him, the Sermon on the Mount. He confronts all of that thinking, and he's changing it. And everything is supposed to change when we follow Jesus. Matthew 5:38-39, this is Sermon on the Mount stuff. He says, "You've heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. This is how we did things. This is how things were before." He says, "But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." He says, this is how we've always done it, but if you're going to follow me, we're going to do it differently. There's going to be a change. And he says, now we don't fight back. Now resist the urge to defend yourself. And a couple of verses later, he says, "You've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." He says, we're doing it different. The way they've been teaching you isn't the right way. We're going to do this differently. If you're going to follow me, there's going to be a change. And I know that, you know, some things happen instantly, some things happen quickly, but some things take time. Old habits, what do they say about them? They die hard. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes we're stubborn and we don't want God to work and change, and we'll fight him. We got to let him get in there and deep and root out some of that stuff. We'll have work to be done on us. Me, you, all of us. We do. That old pessimistic nature needs to change. That old judging nature needs to change. That worrying needs to go. Faith needs to grow. We start learning how to trust God and what that means and what that looks like. There's all these changes that are supposed to be happening. But the more we follow Jesus, the closer we will draw to him, or we should. The more we should start acting like him, and we should become more like him and less like us, or less like we used to be. You know, I'm not saying you need to drop all your personality, what makes you you. But there's a lot of things that we need to let go of and let him work and change us. If there's no change and no growth in us, that's an issue. We should be more like him today than we were yesterday. We're called to be more like him. 2 Corinthians 3:16-18 says, "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." We're supposed to be changed by his Spirit. As he's working in us, he's making us into his image. Ephesians 5:1, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Children follow our actions. That's how we teach them. They learn to speak by how? By listening to us speak. They pick up our mannerisms. They pick up our habits. They pick up our attitudes sometimes. So they learn how to do things by following us, right? And you may not know this, but I can be quite sarcastic. I know it's hard to believe. And now some of my children are picking that up. Julia, it's terrible. She says the most sarcastic things to me and catches me off guard every time. Where did she get that from? Oh wait, I know. It's crazy. You can see it happening. You gotta watch out. I got it from my mother. I learned it from her. Now Julia's learned it from me. We learn things as children by following our parents or those around us. And he says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." That's how we're supposed to follow Jesus, as children, with childlike faith. Follow him, you know, and we do that by reading the word, by studying, by learning and obeying. And you learn by being around someone. So the more we spend, more time we spend with Jesus, more time we spend in his presence, he's going to teach us as children and make us into his image and make us more like him. Does that make sense, right? Yes, it does. And so that's the first one. We're called to be like him. The second is Christ likeness. is our obligation. This is what is expected of us from God and from everyone else. Claiming that we are connected to Jesus in salvation carries with it an obligation to back that up with a lifestyle that mirrors the character of Jesus. So how we act, how we talk, how we live, how we treat others should reflect this. Galatians 5, we know this, 22-23, and though I try to quote them, I forget one. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the fruit that we're supposed to be bearing. That's what's supposed to be developed in our lives when we're following Him and His Spirit is working in us, right? One of the biggest criticisms of the church is that there are so many people who claim to be a Christian, but yet the way they live says otherwise. And this is at the heart of John's statement. He says, the one who says he belongs to Christ should live the same kind of life that Christ lived. The one that says you should walk the same as He walked. Faith in Jesus as our Savior and conformity to His character cannot be separated. If we believe and truly follow Him, we should be changed. We will be changed. That's what He does. He changes people. Anyone that came in contact with Jesus in the New Testament, they went away differently. They were changed, they were healed, they were saved, or they went away sorrowfully. Something happened. There was a change every time someone came in contact with Him. He changes people. That's what He does. Following Jesus has to affect you in your life. It's impossible not to. Being like Jesus is a necessary, non-negotiable standard for a Christian. By definition, the word Christian means follower of Christ. The more time spent with someone, the more like them you become, whether you like it or not. That's why your mom told you, be careful who you're hanging around with. I don't want you hanging around those kids because they're a bad influence. Right? You've said it to your kids. Hopefully. The more we hang around someone, the more like you become. You look at some old couple, they're so much alike. They finish each other's sentences. They start looking alike. There's people that look like their dogs look like them because they've been around them so much. It's weird. But it's a thing. The more time you spend with someone, the more like them you become, whether you want to or not. That's just what happens. My wife says things that she never said before she married me. They just come out because they're things that I say. She's saying, making jokes that I've made. I'm like, where did that come from? Oh, poor old, I ruined her. This is what happens. The more time you spend with someone, the more like them you become. You can't spend time with Jesus and not become more like Him. Repeatedly in the New Testament, we Christians are called upon to follow Jesus in our path to Christian maturity. That's, we got to spend time with Him, and we're obligated to become more like Him the more time we spend with Him. Matthew 5, this is again Sermon on the Mount stuff, 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That is a big ask. That's a hefty request. But the word perfect here, you can read this. Can you read Greek? I can't. I'll tell you how to pronounce it. Teleos. Perfect comes from the word teleos, and it means having reached its end, complete or perfect, complete in all its parts, full grown of full age, especially of the completeness of Christian character. It doesn't mean flawless, it means complete. And so perfect here in reference to us doesn't mean we don't have mistakes, because we're going to, but it means mature, blameless, and complete. That's what's expected of us, to be like Him, complete like He is, and well-rounded and mature and all the things like that. We are to follow His example. We are to model our lives after Him. Not others. We got people trying to be like their pastor, or trying to be like this preacher or that person or so and so. You know, Paul says, follow me as I follow him. But He is our example. If we just try to copy someone else, we're gonna be disappointed. They have flaws. They have things that aren't, you know, God's working on them. And so we need to, he's the goal. We're to model our lives after him. Jesus said in John 13 and 15, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." So you gotta do what I've shown you what to do. You do what I do. We're obligated to do what he does. Ephesians 4, 32, Philippians 2 and 5, 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16, 2 to 21, 1 John 4, 11. I forgot to put it on the paper. There's other verses along those lines. But really, if we're not seeking to reflect the character of Jesus in our own lives, then what right do we have to claim to be Christians? If we're not actively following him, we're not actively surrendering to him, and letting him disciple us and teach us, and how can we say that we are Christians? Because we had an experience years ago. I don't know. We can't use his name and call ourselves Christian if we're not trying to be like him. We're not following him. If we aren't trying to be more like Jesus and walking with him and getting closer to him, then what right do we have to say that we're Christian or to call him Lord? We're deceiving ourselves, like the ones in Luke chapter 6 that Jesus rebuked, saying, Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You can't say he's your Lord if you don't listen to him, if you don't follow him. The Lord is the one that tells you what to do, and you do it. You can't say, you're my Lord, and then do whatever you want. That's not how it works. You can't call him Lord and not obey him. That is impossible. So if he's our Lord, we're obligated to follow and obey him. That's our job. That's our obligation. A lot of damage has been done by people who say they're Christian but live opposite. Wars and shootings and violence. Cults are started. Lives are destroyed. All kinds of chaotic things happen in the world. There's abuse and all kinds of things that are done by people that claim that they're Christian and obviously are not following him. Nothing is more dangerous or frightening or messes up lives and families and congregations, ministries and futures like someone who claims to be a Christian and lives opposite of that. If we are a Christian, it's part of our obligation to follow him and become more like him. Because if not, we really aren't. We really aren't Christian then. We're just using his name, and that is a dangerous place to be because we're deceiving ourselves. All right. Moving on. Christ-likeness is our passion. Jesus is precious to us who believe, or he should be. 1 Peter 2 and 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. He is valuable to those that believe in him. The more we get to know him, the more we want to know him. And knowing him more and more leads us to being more like him in our daily lives. I know this is this mind-blowing thing, but this is how it works. And Paul, with all the things that Paul went through, all his trials and troubles and tribulations, and those are just the letter T, all those things, he never lost his passion for wanting to know Jesus. His desire was in Philippians 3 and 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. That was Paul's desire, and ours should be the same. All I want to know is Jesus. I don't care about all the other things going on in the world. I don't care. You can talk to me about the news. I don't care. I care about knowing Jesus. That is my goal. That is my desire. That's what should be our passion. That's what should drive us more than anything. All I want to know is Jesus. I want to be like him. You can read through all the things that Paul went through. Shipwrecks and beatings and failings and betrayals and all kinds of stuff. But through it all, knowing Jesus was his greatest passion. I just want to know him. And we can say we want to be like the church in the book of Acts, and we can claim to be apostolic. And if so, it needs to be the same with us. There should be a passion to be like Jesus. We're passionate about a lot of things. We have a lot of opinions about a lot of things, and we'll argue and get worked up about all kinds of things. Music, food, sports, family, hunting, fishing, reading, shows, crafts, baking, politics. Woo! We get all fired up about all these things. We get all passionate about all these things, and most of it's okay. But Jesus needs to be number one. B.B. Warfield said, "Christ our example, after Christ our Redeemer." No words can more deeply stir the Christian's heart than these. He's supposed to be our example, and that should drive us to be more like Jesus, to show him to the world around us. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Everything I'm going through, I want to know him more through this. As Paul was getting beaten, as Paul was thrown in jail, as Paul's friends were betraying him and turning their back on him, I just want to know him through this. This should be our passion. This should be our desire. I want to know him in everything I do, everything I go through. I've said this before, this isn't in my notes, but I said it before, that everything we go through is an opportunity to know him better. And that if we look at life that way, it's going to help us. It should be our passion to be more like him and to know him more. Christ's likeness is our witness. Much of what the watching world knows about Jesus comes from observing the lifestyles of those who claim to be followers of him. Some of us may be, the saying is, some of us may be the only Jesus the world will ever see. I didn't put that one up there. It was a quote by Gandhi. Don't often quote him, but he said, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ," and that's a problem. I don't want to be guilty of that. I'm not saying we can't have bad days. I'm not saying you can't drop the ball or make mistakes or that we need to have it all together, because that's not going to happen. We're all learning. We're all working. We're all growing. But we should be moving forward with him and becoming more like him a little more each day. We're going to have bad days. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to get upset and maybe lose our temper. We may flip out. But we get up and we keep going. You don't quit because you make a mistake. Me, I can get upset. I can get angry. I know you're shocked. I hold it all in and then it all comes out someday. Sometimes I can get... Driving makes me the angriest. I'm sure I'm the only one that experiences the road rage. But... working on it. Lucy never gets upset, neither does Julia. The world's opinions of Jesus largely reflect the world's opinions of Jesus' followers. We are the only Bible some people will ever read. 2 Corinthians 3:2 says, "Ye are our epistle, written on in our hearts, known and read of men." Everyone can see what we're doing. Everyone can see how we act, how we treat people, and that says more than what you say. The greatest witness you have is your life. People are reading this epistle that is our lives. Acts 4:13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Peter and John had been with Jesus, and people could tell that just by the way they were talking. It doesn't matter what you know. It says they were ignorant and unlearned men. They weren't the smartest in that group. They weren't the smartest in that trial or whatever was going on. It doesn't matter what you know, if you're ignorant or a genius. It doesn't matter who you are. Have you been with Jesus? Because that's what people can tell. That's what they can see. There's a quote that says, "People will forget what you say, but they won't forget how you make them feel." And being like Jesus is our witness to those around us. We must be a constant flesh and blood demonstration of true Christianity to live like Jesus here in the world. Another quote, John Stott said, "Nothing hinders the testimony of the Christian church more than the wide gap between our claims and our performance, between the Christ we proclaim verbally and the Christ we present visually." That holds us back when we say one thing and live another. When we say love our neighbor and then we're less than loving towards them. When we say we're supposed to love our enemies and someone disagrees with us and we lose our minds. Try to tell them how it is. Belittle them and whatever. People see that and people notice that. Being like Jesus is the best witness we can have. We are representing Jesus wherever we go. We can't forget that. The last thing is because Christ's likeness is our destiny. Our lives are not purposeless. He has a purpose for us. Romans 8, 28 and 29 says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose." And again, we like the first verse. But then it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn among the brethren. So, the goal of our redemption, God is bringing things, or allowing things into our lives for the good of making us and molding us and shaping us, conforming us to be like his son. So all these things that are happening, this is how it's good. Because it's making us more like him. Suffering on its own is not good. But when we allow it to conform us to his image and make us more like him, that's how it works out for good. Does that make sense? These things are, he's using these things to make us more like him, and that is good. We are currently in the school of redemption and becoming more and more like Jesus. He's still working on us. You know the old Sunday school song? He's still working on me, making me what I ought to be. Yeah, I'm not going to sing it. And it's good because on our own, we'll never do it. We need his help. Leslie Flynn said, "The ultimate aim of redemption is to make every believer resemble Jesus Christ." And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to make us more like him and reflect him in the world around us. God intends us to make us like Jesus, like himself. If our Heavenly Father, according to the Romans, has predestined us to be like Jesus, and if he's currently bringing all things into our lives to work that good in us, then we should be very much interested in knowing all we can about our Savior and whose image we are being made. Does that make sense? We should want to know who we're being made like. Because our destiny is to be like Jesus. That's the end goal. Graduation day, or glory, as Romans 8 and 30 says, awaits us. Verse John 3 and 2 says, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." In heaven, we're like him. Finally, that's our destiny, to be like him. That's the end goal. He's working on us and making us more like him. So why should we want to be like Jesus? One, it's our calling. Two, it's our obligation. Three, it's our passion. Four, it's our witness. And five, it's our destiny. And so we should devote our lives to growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." So that we might be more like him. Let's not be like those who in Titus 1:16 profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Let's not be like that, or like 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. from such turn away. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be someone who says that we're one thing, but then we're not. We don't want to be like someone who has a form of godliness, but we don't have the power because we haven't submitted to Him. We're not letting His Spirit work in us. We don't want to be like someone who says that we know God, but in the way that we live, in the way that we act, the way that our works, we deny that we know Him. So instead, let's have live like this and have this attitude. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ liveth in me. I'm crucified with Him. Let us live like Jesus. Let's model our lives after Him. Not after our favorite celebrity, or, God forbid, our pastor, or someone else that we look up to. Let's strive to be more like Jesus and live how He lived and loved like He loves and forgive like He forgives and care and act like He did. He is our greatest example. So we should try to be more like Him and live like Jesus. Amen. Well, that's it. That's it for now. Next week, we'll hammer you with some more stuff. Does that make sense? No problems, no issues with that. Wasn't as awkward as last week. Let's stand. We're going to pray together.